Please remember in prayer teams that are in prison ministry today. We have some ladies that are going to ADSEG at one of the prisons today. And also Willard Shostrand is in need of prayer this morning. And he had a fall. And we recognize his need this morning. And we just remember him in prayer as well. Bless the Lord. Thank you all for coming. It's a joy to be together again. Am I on, Robert? I need a nurse practitioner to help me up here. There was a television show from 1940 to 1988 on NBC called Truth or Consequences. Anybody ever remember that? Oh, a few people are that old? Okay. On the show, well, these contestants received roughly 2 seconds to answer a trivia question correctly. It was usually an off-the-wall question no one would be able to answer anyway correctly, or it was a bad joke, before Beulah, the buzzer, sounded. In the rare occasion that the contestant answered the question correctly, before Beulah was heard, the question inevitably had 2 or even 3 parts. If the contestant could not complete the truth portion, there would be consequences, usually a zany and embarrassing stunt from the start. Most contestants preferred to answer the question wrong in order to perform the stunt, like, you know, dancing on the table, which is, in my Spanish class, I make them do if they say Espanol instead of Espanol. Something like that. It was a laughable consequence. But in my message today, in real life, usually consequences are no laughable matters. It's something that is a result of a wrong decision. My message today is called Rewards or Consequences. Which do you want? It's all in your hand. I've been told that I cannot preach a message without John 10:10. Well, I'll start with that this morning. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so that's the consequences of the thief, who is the stealer of the sheep. He is the enemy himself. The demonic Satan, devil, and he comes to steal away your life, to kill your vision, to destroy your future. But Jesus speaking says, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You see, there's a package plan of abundant life. When we choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When you choose the Lord's way, there is a package plan of abundant life that goes along with it. There's a peace that passes all understanding. That's not even just the absence of conflict, but it's an inner settled situation that has peace like a river. That it's peace that is flowing. Inside the package plan of abundant life is healing. We experienced that this week. Charlotte has said so many times, thank you, Lord, that I am not in the hospital this morning. Actually, this message dropped in my heart before all this took place. I said I had to go yesterday and spend the day putting the cosmetic approach to it, you know, but that this was what the Lord had for us anyway before this took place. And we thank God for healing this part of our abundant life. Fellowship, what we experience around the Java Cafe, around the foyer, lobby, whatever you want to call it, down inside these places after we get through, before we come in, when we go out, it's fellowship, and it's a desire to be together. There is just something magnetic about being with other brothers and sisters in the Lord. We have a common denominator. His name is Jesus Christ, and we are able to have fellowship with him, and because of that, fellowship with each other. And it's just not a social gathering, but it's an edifying time where that, like Acts 2 says, and they increased in fellowship and in doctrine and the breaking of bread. And we have fellowship when we have the Lord's Supper here. And we're all together. We don't take it one at a time. We wait and we take it together. And so it's fellowship. It's part of the package plan of abundant life that God has given us. Another thing we have in this abundant life is favor. And this is where I started with in preparation for my message, that we can have favor if we do what we know to do and we do what is right. We will have favor. It may not look like it at the time, but in the end, there will be favor that we have. There will be rewards. And that's what I want to talk about today. Rewards are consequences. What will you choose? And in the technical field today, like telephones and internet and all of that, they call it that you bundle it all together. Well, see, that's what God does, is he bundles all this together and calls it abundant life, a bunch of life that he gives us. And so there are rewards for doing the right thing, for making the right decisions. And there is blessing and there's success in right decisions. There's consequences. There's problems, there's destruction when we make wrong decisions. And God gives us the wisdom to know the difference. Now, I heard a Scottish preacher one time, and here's what he said: there's nothing too hard for the Lord. You know, I'll translate that. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing too hard for the Lord. Now, I've got this. This kind of came to me, and I want you to repeat this. I'll tell you first, then we'll repeat it. But it's like a poem. Serving the Lord gives reward. Let's say it together. Serving the Lord gives reward. In other words, obedience brings favor. I like to do this. I looked it up. 96 times the word favor is in the Bible. Now, King James has an O-U-R. But in New King James, it takes the U out, but it's still favor, whatever you do. It's favor. It's that blessing that we get. I'm going to have scriptures this morning that explains this. Psalms 5, verse 12 says, "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous." Think about it. He will bless the righteous, those that are in right standing with him, those that are enabling him to bless them, those who are desiring to enter into his holiness, enter into his life, enter into his favor. He says, with favor you will surround him as with a shield. So the favor of God will be all around us like a shield when we do what we can do. Several years ago, the Lord dropped this in my heart, and it's been a philosophy, it's been a principle that I've used. If we will do what only we can do, God will do what only he can do. If we'll do the natural, he'll do the supernatural. If we'll do the practical, he'll do the miraculous. And it is just the same way here, that we will have favor. He will surround us with favor as a shield, and we will be a favored people, and he will bless us. I think that favor can go in many ways. It can be that all of a sudden you've been trying to find a parking place, and all of a sudden you see some red lights come on, and somebody moves out, and you got a parking place. But I've done that before, and they just went back to their car to listen to the radio or something. But we do have favor. We have favor because if we are endeavor to be righteous, there will be favor. What is favor? Well, Old Testament Hebrew says it's delight. It's an acceptance that is there. It's a desire. It's a pleasure. Favor involves pleasure. Pleasure involves favor when it's not pleasure of sin. It's that which is good. The Greek word says natural and spiritual. It is graciousness, gratifying, a divine influence upon the heart, its reflection in life, including gratitude, acceptable, its benefits. He daily loads us with benefits. It's grace. You like that word, grace? It's grace. She's not here. That it's joy. Well, there it is. Okay, I got it that time. All right, it's joy. It's liberality. It's pleasure. It's thanks. It's worthy. We have all of these things when we have favor. Favor with God. Favor with man. We can all quote Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct your paths. Tom Hill stood here on his faith trip to Israel, and that's all the scripture he went on, that he was going to trust in the Lord, that God would work it out. And miraculous things took place. And he got contacts that will be there forever. And he quoted that scripture. And we love that scripture. But what we fail to do sometimes is look at the whole context of the scripture. Here's what verse 1 says of that passage. It says, "My son, do not forget my law. Let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." Then it says, "So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path." You see, there's conditions to that answer for our lives, to that favor. There are conditions that are there. And that it says with length of days and long life, we recognize that God wants to give us that favor. And I would just say this. We can't expect Him to give us long life if we abuse our bodies. Someone said today, yesterday or day before yesterday now, at the hospital, that they could not even get such and such, I forget what it was, if they smoked. You see, they're destroying their body. And so we have to realize that God wants us to live in such a way that He can bless us physically. And that means that we need to eat right. Lots of tacos and enchiladas and Mexican. Yeah. Robert says no. But we need to take care of ourselves. We need to exercise. We need to lose weight if we've gained weight. We need to do these things if we're going to expect God's favor on our body. He says, "With length of days and long life and peace will I add to you." But He says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." Serving the Lord gives reward. Say it again. And obedience is part of that. And 96 times is the word obedience in the Bible. And so, do you want this favor? Do you want these rewards? Do you want God's favor on your life? I began to preach on joy because I realized that the times that are coming to this world, times that are coming to this congregation, that we don't know, but we feel it in the spirit that there's going to be difficult times. We're going to need to have the joy of the Lord because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Then I talked about the joy stealers, those things that will take away your joy. Those joy stealers are the same thing that will steal away your favor, that we will not expect God's blessing and favor on our lives if we are living contrary to what we should be. We must be in alignment with Jesus, with God, with His Word, if we're going to receive the favor of the Lord. Psalm 19, chapter 19, verses 8 through 11, says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." You've heard me say it before. The problems of this world are violation of the principles set forth in God's Word. The answer for our own lives are to come in alignment with the principles of God's Word so that we can expect His favor, we can expect good results, we can expect that which we would had planted good seed, and we come up with a good harvest because of what we've done. It says, "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned." It says the fear of the Lord is clean. "And in keeping them there is great reward." So by keeping the word of God and by walking in obedience, it says there is great reward. Proverbs 11 and verse 18 says, "The wicked man does deceptive work, But he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. So back again to, we can have destruction or we can have construction. We can build a house on the sand or we can build a house on the rock. We will be able to have that which we plant. We plant seeds of righteousness. We will have a reward of righteousness. If we sow right, we will reap right. We will have a sure reward. Proverbs 11:18, the wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. And so the scripture says that it will come, that there will be that reward that God has for us. And Psalms 58:11 says, so that men will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely he is a God who judges in the earth. So we recognize that as we live right, there will be blessing. And we are blessed to be a blessing. And so as we are blessed with favor, then we can bless others. And God can utilize our body, soul, and spirit to bless other people. Surely there's a reward for the righteous. He who sows righteous will have a sure reward. And God keeps records. I use this scripture most every time I pray for someone that's been faithful and steadfast, maybe a minister or a missionary or a faithful worker. The scripture says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so they need to be blessed. And Hebrews 6:10 says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you've shown toward his name, in that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. Think about it, that God keeps a record, and that with that record comes blessing. It comes, you may not see it at the time, but I wrote in Facebook this morning, don't look at it now, listen to my message, that says we can, if we look at the past, at what he has done, we can have hope for the future, for what he will do. Because you say, well, you know, it didn't happen when I wanted it to. Well, God's timetable, you know, some of those things in Isaiah took place 200 years later. You say, well, please, I want it in my generation. Well, I don't know. God knows, and he is in charge. But he does not forget that work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And God gives those rewards. You say, is that why I'm doing it? It better not be. It better not be. Well, I want to see what I can get out of God. So I want to give so it'll be given back to me. And you better not have that motive. It should be, this is all about you, Jesus. And I don't minister for the rewards that I get. You don't give to get, but because you give, you got. Get that? We are not rewarded for our own selfishness. We are rewarded for being in right alignment with Jesus. That you've ministered, you've shown toward his name a work. Uh-oh. You see that word? That means it's not always going to be easy. The work. Work is part of discipleship. And we have to be willing to work. I've seen people that about the time the sweeping and mopping starts, well, they go to pray for somebody. I appreciate those that grab the mop. Those that say, I'll be here till it ends. Or like Charlotte picks up those white piece of paper off the ground, you know. A labor of love. It said it's a labor of love. We do it out of our love for God. We want to do that. Love is choosing for the very highest good for God and his universe, his whole creation. And so it's a labor of love that we are doing in ministry. If it gets to the place that you say, oh no, it's Adopt-a-Block again. Oh no, it's Dream Center again. Oh no, it's Monday night, I have to go to Hope on the Street. You better stay home, because you're doing it. You expected something out of it for yourself. It's got to be, to God be the glory for all this done. It's a labor of love. It says you've shown it toward His name. His name is worthy of all that we would give. It, you know, worship is not just this. Worship is a lifestyle. And being able to be used in the place of the Lord at Walmart or at the restaurant or wherever it might be, that's a labor of love unto the Lord. And He says He will not forget that. You've shown it toward His name. He says you minister to the saints. Yes, we're to reach the lost. We're to find those people that have never known Jesus. Yes, we are. But we're also to minister to the saints, to be able to bless those that are of the household of faith, that we're able to bless them. It says that you've done it and you're still doing it, He says. You do minister. And we need that. Every Sunday morning, well, I have a whole list of pastors that I pray for and missionaries that I pray for, because they're doing it. They're out there, and they're doing it. And I pray for you all as well. But we said, and they do minister. So we're praying for those that do minister. This message is a message of hope. Would you repeat this? I don't know if you ever heard it before, but it says, there is hope. It's on the name of our church. It's on the marquee. It's out there that there's hope. You realize the people that drive by, how many hundreds of cars, thousands, whatever, that drive by and they look there and they say, living hope. What's hope? Living hope. What's that? Well, God's going to get those backsliders in here. They're going to realize when things go wrong that they better get right. There is hope. Psalm 86:15 says, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth. God's payday is not always on Saturday night. You may think that you're sinning and being having favor, but there comes a time that judgment will be there. A man was trying to get some wild music, and instead, well, as he went across the dial, well, he got a preacher, and he turned it off quickly, but he couldn't turn it off in his mind because the preacher said, you're hanging over hell by a thread. See, I believe that God can do that to backsliders, that He can call them back. He can put the fear of the Lord back into them, where that they realize they need to run to the altar. They need to come to be able to have help there. We are blessed. We say, come as you are and go away different. God is full of compassion. He is gracious. He's long-suffering. He's abundant in mercy and truth. And He will call. He will come when we call upon Him from our heart. But there comes a time when His judgment begins. David Wilkerson said that in a service, you say, how many were saved? How many were rededicated? How many were healed? How many were called into the ministry? He said, where is the altar call, the invitation that says how many were hardened? You see, there comes a time when you continue to resist. What did Jesus do to the disciples? He said, what, can you not watch with me 1 hour? And finally He said, go on, sleep on. The time has come. There comes a time when God just says, okay. I pray that God never turns me loose. Can you say that? I hope that God never says that He's had enough and that we have gone too far and that we will not have that Holy Spirit conviction anymore. It takes the Holy Spirit to draw a person to salvation. It takes the Holy Spirit to convict sin. I heard from Gary Tebbe in Huanuco, Peru, about that man that just got saved and wanted to be baptized at night and wanted to go and marry his girlfriend and all of this. And he said, well, he's doing pretty good. Said he still cusses like a sailor, but he feels bad about it. he comes to me and says, I can't enjoy this anymore. You know, what's wrong with me? Well, it's what's right with you. See, that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. and that we have a God that's full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in mercy and truth. Psalm 30, verse 5 through 7 says, "For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life." We started out by saying that he's come to give us life, and life more abundantly. His favor is for life, so we can have God's favor in our lives. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That weeping can be tears of repentance, and it will bring that joy that comes in the morning. So you realize we're talking about truth or consequences. We obey the truth. We walk in God's ways. We respond to God. We say, I want to live a life pleasing to God. I want to obey the scriptures. I want to have a life that God can honor, and I want to do what he tells me to do, and that there will be the blessings of truth. There will be rewards. And again, I say there's a reward for right decisions, but there are consequences for wrong decisions. We must walk in the fear of the Lord. I could stop now and let Bill Hayes preach the rest of the message, but it's truth that we must walk in the fear of the Lord. This cheap grace message that is basically wrong, it's saying that grace will take care of anything. We can just live like we want to, and grace will take care of it. Grace is a desire to do God's will, and it's the power to do God's will. And the fear of the Lord must be in our lives, that we recognize that he sees all you do and he hears all you say, and he's watching all the time. That was a little song I learned as a kid. And it said to me that God is watching. He's up there, and I must walk, because he has the ability to bless or he has the ability to punish. And he is not going to allow us to live like the devil and live against the scriptures, because he loves us. And that love says, I'm choosing for your very best. Any parent that says, let the children do what they want to do, doesn't matter to me, they don't love them. I know it was hard for the kids when we said, I'm spanking you. Be careful how you do that these days. I'm giving you a whipping. Be careful. But it's because I love you. Could you understand that? Well, none of my kids are here today. They're upstairs. I think Ann's upstairs, but I didn't whip her. But it's because of the love that we want them to know what's right and what's wrong. And they walk in the fear of the Lord. It's okay for them to walk in the fear of their daddy, too, if their daddy's not brutal, if he's not trying to punish them out of anger. But because just to know that there is a consequence for wrongdoing. Psalms 109, verse 12. Let there be none to extend mercy to him. You say that contradicts the other scripture. No, it doesn't. Nor let there be any favor to his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off. And in the generation following, let their names be blotted out. See, that's the same God that we say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's the same God. But there comes a time when he says, let there be none to extend mercy to him, nor let there be any favor to his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. See, that's what's wrong with our nation today, is that they've lost the fear of God. It's, we're going to do it our way. We're going to make our own laws. We're going to elect our own officials. You see, God wants to bless us, but we can tie God's hands to where that he cannot bless us. Through obedience, we can untie God's hands. Through submission, we can untie God's hands. Through walking in the Spirit, we can untie God's hands. By knowing the Word and obeying the Word, we can untie God's hands so that he can bless his people, and he can bless this congregation. He can bless this church. God wants to bless us. Proverbs 3:1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands, not just mentally, but with our heart. For length of days and long life and peace will add to you. You see the blessings that come. You see the favor that comes. Do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace will I add to you. So how can we have this favor that I'm teaching about this morning? Well, it depends on where our heart is. Are you a selfish liver or a cheerful giver? Are you living for self? The scripture says that we no longer live for ourselves, but for the one who died and rose again. And who's that? For Jesus. So do you live for self or you live for the Lord? The greatest altar call we can give is, you want to give your life to the Lord? You want to live for Jesus? You want to, from this time on, forsake the old and embrace the new, embrace Jesus? Luke 6:38, it talks about giving, and it's about money, but it's about everything. It's about giving. Are you a selfish liver or a cheerful giver? Luke 6:38 says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. What's that saying? It's saying that God wants to bless you by being a giving person. And that involves everything. It involves your time. It involves your family. It involves your possessions. It involves your money. It involves your calling. It involves your service for the Lord. It is giving. And it says that with the same percentage, you might say, the same measure that you give, it will be given back to you. And it will be, he wants to give a bunch, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, that he'll give it back to you. A familiar scripture, similar, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8, it says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. You give it, or you give just a little bit. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. We give cheerfully. And when your heart is in line with God, there's no problem with giving. It's automatic. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Well, giving is automatic. You want to give. You want to give of yourself. You want to serve. You want to be there. There's one thing that will describe all sin. It's the sin of selfishness. And that's not just being stingy. It's saying everything's about me. I'm the most important person. It's got to all come back to me. Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 10, says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Then he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. He says that it'll be an abundance of health and strength and supply and favor if you will do what I tell you to do. It's called tithes. It means diezmos. It means 10%. And that's just a formula. I would say it's 100% because it all belongs to him, but at least 10% should be given back to him. Like I said earlier this morning, it's not mine, Lord, it's yours. I hold it up, and it's for you. I would never personally expect God's favor if I robbed him. I would never fail in my tithes and offerings because I know what the scripture says. It is there. You say, but I can't afford to do that. You don't know how many expenses I've got. Well, cut your expenses. Stop buying cigarettes. Stop going out to eat so much. Stop getting the, what do they call it? Supersize it. Or you'll get supersized. You cannot afford not to give to the Lord's work. You cannot afford not to give. It says, and offerings. That means missions. That means blessing. You say, well, I'll do it my way. I know some people in need. I'll give it to that man with the card on the corner. Follow him. You'll see whether he really has a need or not. You can't give sideways. Well, okay, my mother-in-law's sick. She gets it this week. No, it goes to your church, your local church. That's how God's economy is. And he will bless. He will bless tithes and offerings. So to rob God, don't expect the favor of God. Be a giver. Now the greatest form of giving is forgiving. You got bitterness in your life. You got unforgiveness in your life. God cannot bless unforgiveness. It will destroy you. Bitterness in your life will destroy your health. You will not be able to expect divine health with bitterness in your life. And bitterness comes from unforgiveness. Matthew 6:14 says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. You say, what? I thought he would forgive. He wants you to have a clean slate. Every time we take the Lord's Supper, I say, don't take this unworthily. If you've got something in you, get it right. Even if it's on your way up here, get it right with God. If it's against another person, get it right with that person. Because God cannot bless unforgiveness. We need to have a very short fuse, a very short length of hurts in our life that we say, no, I've been hurt this week. But I had to instantly forgive. Instantly forgive. I knew the grace of God was there to help me forgive. And so we recognize that. Otherwise, it would eat me up. If you find that you think about that every morning, you haven't forgiven that person. If you do that, you haven't forgiven that person. Let me tell you this story. I mean, some of you have heard this before, but it's worth retelling. The first person I ever tried to help embezzled money from his company and then came and said he had quit his job. Would I still hire him? And I did. And that very first morning, the sheriff rolled up and arrested him, put him in jail. But I was going to be the savior of his whole life. And I said, yes, I'll still give you a job and so on. And I hired a lawyer. I went to court with him. He got a probated sentence plus fines to repay what he'd embezzled. And I hired him and brought him in. The morning in my office when I was adding up two rows of figures, and I thought, surely not. And I realized that he had found a way to steal from me too. And I said, I need to talk to you. And he said, well, let's take a ride. I thought, no, we're not going to take a ride. You're going off some cliff somewhere. I was still going to try to, mercy is, I guess, a gift God's given me, and I was going to still try. And I went to get a haircut. Don't need much of those anymore, but it was called a style. And I was sitting there at this, high-priced haircut place. I was in business at the time. And I looked in the mirror and I said, wow, I can't hardly smile. It goes like this, He said, yeah, I was by your store and your head, you couldn't wrinkle your head. And I realized that I was in trouble, that the stress, the tension had got to me. So I had to go to him. I said, you got to get you another job. This is it. Well, I would have wanted at that time for him to be blasted with God's judgment. But instead, God blessed him. He had family and business, and they put him in business. And he had a big white truck where that he traveled and did sales. My biggest fear was that I'd have a flat on the road and he would come up. I never wanted to see that guy again. And so then God called me to start Teen Challenge Coffee House. And these hippies, druggies coming in, I'd find their name, and I had a Dake Bible with a big page in it, and I'd write their name in it. And that was my prayer list. Pray for Pablo. Pray for Paul. Pray for this one. Pray for this one. Pray for this one. One more night I was praying for them. And God said, can you pray for... I said, sure. God, I pray... It would not come out. You see, there was such unforgiveness there. And I finally got to a place that I forgave him in my heart. And I said that it is finished. Now I can go on with ministry. But I carried that bitterness for a long time, that unforgiveness in my heart. It was a while after that. I was in my office one day, and I got a call, and it was this man. He said that he was part of a civic club in his town, and that they needed a speaker. And he had heard that I was in a program to help youth, and would I come and speak? And I said, well, I can't come that day, but I can come this date. And I said, I'll come that date. He said, well, thank you very much. I'll be glad to see you. And I said, brother, I pray for you. And he started crying. And he said, I thought you'd say something like that. You see, God got me to a place that I was cleansed from that. I was cleansed from that unforgiveness so he could bless me. In fact, there came a prophecy one time, and I knew it was for me. It said, the breaking has come, and now I can bless you. See, we have to be blessed, we have to deal with some things. I was still leery about that meeting, and I went and set up my little projector and my slideshow, and I thought, what am I going to do? And all of a sudden, behind my screen, I saw just a man's pant legs, and all of a sudden, he came around, and he was facing me, and there was no bitterness left. I just greeted him. After the meeting, well, he helped me carry stuff back to the car, and I'd taken a colleague friend with me because I didn't want to face it alone, and he was there, and when he was one of my executives, well, I had printed a nice wooden plaque that had his name on it. I wanted to burn it many times, but I didn't. And I said, I've got something for you, and I handed it to him. And I'm sure he has it today somewhere. Now, God did not make me work with him the rest of my life. I only saw him one or two more times. He moved out of state. But God dealt with me. And because of that, I can help many. I can help many. See, the enemy wanted me to use that to never help anybody else, see. But God convicted and brought it about. If you forgive other people, then when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Okay, all right, you say, hurry up, Joe, let's get this over with. Okay, here's another thing that will stop the favor of God. God cannot bless a sinful tongue. I preached on that here a while back. James 3. I had a guy at Teen Challenge, and he was the biggest gossiper you had ever seen. He was, anything out of his mouth was not good. And I tried to do this, and I would just look at him and frown a little bit. He'd say, James 3, I know. Verse 5, see how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or likeness of God. out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing? My brethren, these things ought not to be so. You say, I wish that they were here this morning. They really need to hear this. Well, God cannot bless a sinful tongue. And this goes everything from lying to tale-bearing to gossiping to being enjoying sharing bad news. So, do you want the favor of God in your life? You know, it's either favor or death. Death means separation. Proverbs 8, verse 35 and 36 says, "For whosoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. And those who hate me love death. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Sin means missing the mark. They told me that this word death really was the mariner's term. It was that which they used, and I've been on some boats before, and when they take those big cables away, well, all of a sudden the boat begins to drift out. The ship kind of moves out a little bit. The word was death has occurred, and it means separation has occurred. You see, spiritual death is separation from God. Spiritual separation from God. Physical death means that the soul and the spirit have separated themselves from you, and you either go to heaven or hell, and your body stays there. That's what we put in a casket. So we recognize that those who hate me love separation. They love that which will separate them from God's favor. Proverbs 11:27, "He who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil." Anybody ever had a consequence because of a wrong decision? People say, "Then God sent me to prison." I said, "No, he didn't. You sent yourself." Now God can use that situation to give you a way out, a way up. He can bring favor to you. And I've been so blessed to see how that some of these believers in prison that know the Lord, they might not ever get out, or the long-term confinement, but they know the Lord. They say, "Then the Lord blessed me with a stamp. The Lord blessed me with a visit. The Lord blessed me with a new cellie. The Lord favored me with this. You know, while I was stuck out, such and such happened." They look at what God is doing. And yes, they're there because of a wrong choice. Or maybe they're there because they were wrongfully convicted, like Hannah was. But it says those who seek good will find favor, but trouble comes to him who seeks evil. Consequences of their wrong actions. So the penalty of sin or the blessing of salvation. What do you want? Proverbs 12:2, "A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. Every prudent man acts with knowledge." Proverbs 13:15. "But a fool lays open in his folly." And then comes the salvation scriptures, Romans 6:20-23. "When you were slaves of sin, you were free to regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death, separation. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and to the end, everlasting life." What a powerful promise. fruit of holiness. You say, well, isn't getting saved enough? No, that's just a beginning. Baptized Holy Spirit? No, it's not. It's not a status plan. You haven't reached the ultimate. Every day, our pursuit of holiness must be there. Discipleship is becoming a disciplined believer and following the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and growing in our knowledge of Him and in His will, and a life that is being cleaned every day. Sanctification is instantaneous at salvation, but progressive in discipleship. And we are able to have that desire for holiness, and in the end, everlasting life. What a retirement plan. What an abundant life. We do not have to live in drudgery, lack of peace, regardless of the storm. We can have peace in the midst of the storm because God is faithful. And in the end, everlasting life. We've got joy in heaven for that which He has promised us. Then comes the scripture we use in the salvation plan. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Just as a man works on a job and receives wages, so much an hour, he's going to get that because he worked for it. When we sin, we have wages. It says there will be separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life. When we do righteousness, then there is blessing, and it's eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Psalm 24, 1 through 5. The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. If you have a pure heart, your hands will be clean. Clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. Listen to this. He shall receive blessing from the Lord. Clean hands, a pure heart. I like the scripture that says, if we will confess our sins, He's faithful and just to cleanse, to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some of our ladies do house cleaning, and they say there's a difference between a wiper and a scrubber. You see, cleanse means sterilizing. We're going to do that, you know, like at the hospital where every station you clean your hands, and every person that comes in, well, they treat the person, they clean their hands. You see, he has clean hands and a pure heart, but a pure heart will bring the clean hands. So it all starts in the heart, where that we say, yes, Lord, I want a holy life. I want a holy heart. I want to get rid of those things that would decrease my favor with you. I want to receive the blessing of the Lord that is there. So we recognize that we can have truth or we can have consequence. We can have rewards or we can have consequence. We can have a life abundantly, or we can just barely be getting by. And it's a miserable life if you don't have the peace of God. You can't be a halfway Christian. You've got to have a commitment to the Lord. You've got to be able to have a no compromise in my life. I'm going to serve God with all my heart. I'm going to love Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm going to love my neighbor. I'm going to be able in this life, even though we know we're going to face tribulation, I'm going to have enough strength to be a light. And to everyone that asks me the reason for the hope that's within me, I can tell them it's through Jesus, my Lord, who is the light of life. One final scripture. Daniel, put that music altar on. Ezekiel 3, 18 and 19. But when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Our problem in our nation today is poverty in the pulpit. Mega churches, small churches, whoever, have compromised the message to where it's an easy believism. That which is easy to understand. They're preaching so people will stay So they will give in the offerings, and they don't want to preach too hard or they'll leave. It's never been about numbers here. It says that if we don't do it, the Lord's going to require at your hand. In the movie Left Behind, there's a pastor that is there, and the people are coming in. Why didn't you warn us? Why didn't you warn us? He didn't go and they didn't go. We've got to have a message that God can honor, or He'll require it our hand. The verse 19 says, yet if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall deliver his iniquity. He shall die in his iniquity, but you've delivered your soul. That's what I've tried to do this morning. It's aimed at all of us, including me. It's not just picking out persons and saying this is your message for the day. It's for all of us. But it's a standard of holiness for Church of Living Hope. Lord, we're not going to do it to keep a good crowd. We don't want to be seeker sensitive, Lord. We want to be Jesus sensitive. To be hearers and doers. Bow your heads, please. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning that the words that you put in my heart during a very difficult week, but Lord, I just felt I still had to continue with this word. Lord, I pray today that this will be a giant step for this congregation, and that we will recognize that we must love you. We must serve you. We must care for others. You're a merciful, compassionate God. Bow your heads, please. Perhaps you're here this morning and you have to say, I am not ready to meet God. Maybe you've never experienced salvation. Salvation comes. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that comes by you saying, I am a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. I want Jesus. I want to give my life to Him. He'll take it as it is. Then He'll change it. Anybody here this morning that says, I'm not right with God, but I want to be. Would you raise your hand right now? I see. How many would say, the many scriptures that I've heard this morning, have convicted my heart, and I want to seek the Lord. I want to say, God, I'm going to walk in obedience. I want your favor in my life. I want to know you more. Then let's seek the Lord together. All of you that raised your hands, let's come forward. Let's come forward. The altar is a place of putting to death those things that hinder us from the favor of God. Oh, Lord, that we would know that you have pleasure in us, that you are pleased with us, oh Lord, that you're pleased with us, oh God, and that you are able, Almighty God, to say, you are mine and I'm proud of it. Jesus, our Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's all stand together. Lord Jesus, here we are in your presence this morning, God. May the Holy Spirit do its work today of enlightening us to your will for our lives, O God, that we may be people that are deserving of your rewards, Lord, that we can know that you favor us. Lord, I thank you for your many blessings. I thank you, Lord, for the favor that you've placed upon us, O God. Maybe people here this morning that have that unforgiveness in your heart and that you are in need of just saying one more time, I will forgive and God can forgive me. I will forgive. I will release that. I will not be bitter anymore. That I will have joy instead of bitterness. Oh God, blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Just right there where you're standing, folks, just reach out to God this morning. Just say, Lord, I want to apply this to my life in every way. I want it, Lord. I want to apply it in my life. Help me, Lord Jesus. Let me know. Let me know your voice, Lord. Let me know your ways, God. Give me, oh God, your life today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy and grace, oh God. Thank you, Lord, that you continue to call us. You call us, Lord, that we may be able to be yours, oh God. That we may be able to walk with you. Help us, Lord God, as we walk among this world, that we would be lights in a dark world, Lord. God, that we would shine forth as lights to the world around us, Lord God. Jesus, our Lord. Let us be worthy of your name. Christian. Jesus, follower. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, God, we pray. We thank you, Lord. Jesus, our Lord. Touch us this morning, Lord God. Touch us, we pray. Touch us, we pray, oh God. It's between you and God. You really don't need anybody to do it for you. It's your choice. Your choice. Your decision. Lord, you are wonderful. You are marvelous. You are our God, our strength, and our salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you. Precious Jesus. Thank you. Wonderful. The Lord wants to bless you this morning. Stretch your hand this way. He desires to be a blessing. He desires to be the wonderful Heavenly Father. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Oye Israel, Jehová nuestro Dios, Jehová uno es, y amarás a Jehová tu Dios de todo tu corazón, de toda tu alma y con todas tus fuerzas. Now may the Lord bless you. That's what I've been wanting to do this morning, is to give you blessing and keep you. He has keeping power. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Now may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, a peace that passes all understanding. Jehová te bendiga, te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehová alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for listening. Let the word of God live in you. Let it enrich you. Go in the name of the Lord and find a need and meet it, and find a hurt and heal it. Go and find someone and say there's hope for your life, and it's his name is Jesus. God bless you. Thank you. Amen.